Pulp Shoe.
Recorded live.
What's up, people? This is Speaking Like You Thinking Radio. I'm your host, Nas Know-It-All, and I'm joined today by sports expert, Mr. Naughty Dread. What's good, man?
What's up, man? What it do?
Oh, man, ain't nothing, dog. I'm sitting here watching this blowout game. Kind of boring, but I'm still going to finish the end. Dallas and Orlando.
Yeah. You know, playoff time coming up. You know, everybody fighting for seeding, but it looks like Orlando pretty much etched in their spot. You know, Dallas more. I mean, they needed to win.
Yeah.
You know, they started out kind of hot when they got Caron, Butler, Hayward. You know, they won like 14 straight, 13 straight, something like that, 12 straight. Then they lost. But, you know, lately, they, you know, Utah been a team that's rolling.
Yeah, Utah might take that number two spot from them.
Yeah.
They're going to have to get it together.
Yeah, and Denver really, you know, they got Portland later on, but they really been looking shaky lately. I mean, on the road, they just horrible. And a lot of people might blame the coach, you know, the coach going, you know, with his counsel issues and all, but I don't think it's got nothing to do with the coach because they were struggling on the road when they had him healthy.
Yeah. I don't think Denver's a title contender like other people do, but I mean, we'll see how it plays out. I think they went farther last year than they will this year. We'll see how it goes, though.
Yeah, I think they didn't reach their peak. I mean, you just can't win basketball the style they play. You know, they really don't have a dominant big man. I mean, a legitimate enough big man to where they can beat a team like the Lakers or Dallas, you know.
Yeah.
Or, you know, teams like Utah can beat them. Utah match up well with them. So, yeah, I don't see Dallas, Denver, getting no further than what they did last year.
Yeah, when you're a team like that with no dominant big man, you need everybody. So, Kenyon Martin being hurt, that really changes things for them.
Yeah, that was a big factor. I mean, they need him.
Yeah.
But, you know, they need a lot. They need, like you said, they need everybody to play well every night. You know, they need Chauncey to come through. They need Carmelo to come through. They need Nene to play big every night instead of, you know, some nights he'll play good and look dominant. And you can see why he got the bread that they gave him. And then some night you're looking for him.
Right.
So, you know, they got to – but like I said, I just don't think the way they play. They try to outscore you. You know, in the playoffs, this is about trying to make – other people score less than you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not playing that way, you're just not going to win. And it doesn't matter who your coach is, they run that same system.
Yeah, and I would make an argument that Denver scared them a little bit last year and that our test thing with Kupchak was a little bit part of worrying about Melo, knowing that, you know, Melo was too big for Kobe in the post, so he wanted somebody else to, you know, fight with.
Yeah, they might have scared them a little bit. You know, they might have scared them a little bit. And I think that is part of the reason why they made the move. But at the end of the day, I just don't see – unless them finishing that fourth spot, which they might, I don't really see them playing the Lakers at all in the playoffs.
Yeah, see them going home before that?
Yeah, I mean, either that or they'll play somebody else in the second round. But, you know, the West is so deep this year, really. I mean, you got teams like San Antonio that can finish eighth. I mean, San Antonio can beat the Lakers. I mean, I'm not saying they will if they face each other, but they are capable of beating the Lakers. You got a team like Phoenix that could end up playing Denver in the first round. They capable of beating Denver. So, I mean, it's going to be a few upsets. It's going to be more upsets this year than usual, I believe. And that's in the East and the West.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. And yeah, that Phoenix-Denver, that definitely is not who Denver wants to play because they play that style a little bit better than them. So.
Yeah, I mean, with Robin Lopez, I mean, he out right now, but he should be coming back. But with him in the middle, and then you allow Amar'e Stoudemire to play the four, now they kind of play more defense. Like, they really play defense down the stretch more so than they have in the last 4 or 5 years. So they have a better chance to me than Denver do to get to the chip to unseat the Lakers. But really, the only teams that can really beat the Lakers to me is Dallas because of the matchups.
Yeah, they got enough
San Antonio
to win.
Yeah,
well, I would say Dallas got a shot just because all the athletes, but I don't think it'll happen. But
at the end of the day, athletes, you know, it ain't all about the athletes. It's about, you know, the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to play the game the right way. Now, Dallas has the pieces to play the game the right way. But
yeah.
At the end of the game, in the last 3-4 minutes of the game, that's your number one option. There's your number two option. Those guys got where the takes to just come through, and I ain't seen Dirk come through. He kind of soft, you know, when he get pushed around. And then after Dirk, to me, I mean, Jason Kidd is the best player on that team, in my opinion. I mean, Dirk, no Dirk. But
I'm gonna go Karan. I'm a Midwest dude, so I'm gonna ride with Karan.
I mean, Karan, and that's why they got Karan. They got Karan over. Because you don't want to make Jason Kidd your number two option. You don't really want to make your number three option when it comes to scoring the basketball. So, and Jason Terry, you know, he's always going to give you his numbers. But you need his numbers anyway without him being that guy down the clutch that you should have to get it from. You got to get it from Dirk, or you need somebody else you can get it from. And hopefully Caron Butler is the guy that they can get it from. So that's why they brought him in, and that's why – I think they're one of the teams that can dethrone the Lakers.
Yeah,
but we haven't seen Caron Butler in his playoff atmosphere yet, sort of like Mo Williams. You know, we knew he was a good player when he was in Milwaukee before he went to Cleveland. But, and, you know, he had a great regular season in Cleveland. But when the playoffs came around, Mo Williams' game didn't come around with him.
Yeah, he couldn't get shots, man, at Orlando still.
So we got to see, can Caron Butler get shots? Because, like I said, the West is tough.
Mm-hmm.
And guys going to play you. And if they play a good defensive team, and they're going to play a good defensive team somewhere. I mean, I know the West don't really have too many good defensive teams. But if you match up against a San Antonio or Utah, I mean, even though Utah is not really a solid defensive team, they do play defense. When it counts, when the game's on the line, when you play or you play a team like the Lakers, you know, you gonna have to play ball.
Yeah,
those shots ain't gonna come easy. You're gonna have to really show how much game you got, and that's what
especially
we haven't seen our Caron Butler yet.
Especially with a team like that, to where even if you get a win on their home floor, it doesn't really matter because they have no problem coming into your gym and winning. So. Home court in the Western Conference, it doesn't scare the Lakers because they feel like they can win anywhere.
No, home court really shouldn't scare nobody. You know, at some point, like Kobe said, at some point you're going to lose at home. You got to go on the road and beat somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Every team that won a championship had to go on the road and beat somebody. That's just how it go. You know, so if you don't go on the road and beat nobody, you're not going to win a chip.
But I gotta say, man, since we down here in the A, man, gotta shout out the Hawks for the other day, man. They took care of business out there, had Phillips packed, and I mean, they basically got up on the Lakers and took care of them.
Yeah, they took care of business. They did their thing, you know, and then we saw the Lakers pretty much give up at the end, which is something that I rarely see out of Lakers, but it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, the Hawks perform. I mean, I think they wanted to shut a lot of people up too, because a lot of those people in there were Laker fans.
Oh yeah.
You know, and this is a record crowd, over 20,000. I mean, those people they sold standing room only seats. You know, at this game. I mean, people was all the stars that you had. T.I. at the game, Dr. J, Carrie Hilson messing up the national anthem, but you know she she did it. You know. I mean, and the Hawks went out there and did their thing. I mean, they pretty much handled the Lakers from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
And Joe Johnson had a game, which I hope, you know, he can be encouraged out of this game because he had a good game. I mean, it didn't matter who was on him, whether it was Artest or Kobe, he was doing his thing. Like, he played with confidence yesterday. I haven't saw that out of Joe a lot. Like when we play against the big teams or the big two guards that might come to town, or we might go on the road and play them. He looked kind of timid. You know, he ready to distribute the ball, which I'm okay with because we play well when we play team ball that way. But
right.
At the end of the day, you need a killer on your team who can get it done down the stretch.
Yeah, I want him to be unselfish, but he also has to put up shots regardless. So
exactly.
When he puts up those shots,
because I see him plenty out here put shots, but he putting up the shots more so because he feels like his role is he has to put up the shots instead of, you know what, I'm finna bust ass tonight. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how he played yesterday. He played like, you know what, I know Kobe in the building, but this my building. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm finna bust ass tonight. And he did that. You know, 25.
And that's the mentality he's always – that's the mentality he's always missing. He doesn't have that D-Wade, I'm about to kill you regardless of who you are. That's what I want to see for. If he doesn't, man,
exactly.
I wouldn't care what they gave him over the summer.
Yeah,
then I wouldn't have a problem with it.
If he showed me that over, you know, like, this is a big stretch right now, this playoff run. I mean, if he could show me he's a killer. Now, if Joe is a killer, we can win the whole thing.
Right.
the question is, why I say we can't win the whole thing because he ain't – like, Jamal is our killer, but it's like Joe kind of – like, he kind of sensed that Jamal, that dude, and he be taking all the last shots and really putting us through at the end. So he kind of want to step up and do that because he feel like the money on the line.
Right.
That's good pressure.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that if you're confident in what you are capable of doing and you go out there and do it. And if that happens, and we get to the, let's say we get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and we in Game 6 or something like that. Oh, I believe we can win now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give Joe the bread.
Yeah, no problem.
No problem.
My biggest thing is when we get to Cleveland, will we see what Marvin is about? Will Marvin challenge LeBron and guard him and actually? You know what I mean? Make him know he's there.
Well, you know,
but
Marvin
actually,
usually,
he didn't notice.
Well, Marvin usually, I don't know, man. Marvin usually plays, defends LeBron pretty well. You know, I mean, you're not going to stop LeBron. I don't care who you is.
No, you ain't.
He usually contains him. I mean, last year when we played him, you know, we lost a couple games to him. We beat him. But the games that we lost, a couple of them was some little flaky calls down the end that LeBron got. But they were close games. And LeBron, I mean, Marvin played LeBron well. I've been noticing lately. I've been really, you know, because I really pay attention to the Hawks. And Marvin may be a little undeveloped on the offensive end. But on the defensive end, he plays great. He plays good defense. I mean, he keeps us in it. So
This is going to be the teller, though. How many threes does LeBron shoot during the series? If Marvin is kind
of
keeping him on the perimeter and he's not getting into the paint as much, not getting to the line as much, we got a shot. But if he's doing what he did last year, when he's putting on a show, it's a wrap and it's time to reevaluate things. So I don't know.
Well, he going to do what he going to do. I mean, he going to shoot the threes because he's comfortable shooting the three. We just got to hope he missed the three. He going to drive to the hole. He going to get fouled. He going to go through to the line. We just got to hope he don't shoot well from the line. LeBron can only stop LeBron.
True.
And with the team, the cast of guys he has around him, if he don't get it done this year, then he starts to get in that
can't win category.
Maybe he can't get it done.
Except the old Cavs, they can't spread the floor now with shooters.
Exactly.
And
Antoine Jameson is a perfect fit to play with LeBron. He's a perfect fit. Because he's going to get his point in the team regardless.
Nasty in the playoffs, man. Him and Jameson running that pick and pop.
Yeah, but yet it's still, this is another situation where, you know, we haven't seen Jameson in the playoffs yet. It's a different game. Playoffs is a whole different animal. We got to see what he can do in the playoffs. I know what he's done in the regular season his whole career. But
yeah.
I ain't never seen Antoine Jameson do nothing in the playoffs because he ain't really never been there.
That's true, but he benefits from not having to take many shots anyway, though, because they're not going to expect him to shoot 15 times. So
well,
if he plays bad in that, he's just choking, like you say. Hey, right. moment might be too big for them. I don't see it happening.
But the game is more than offensive. The game is defensive, too. And I've been watching these games, and Antoine Jameson is not the best defender.
Oh, never has been.
He's not the best defender out on the floor. So, I mean, there's a lot to be seen when it comes to the playoff time. Sometimes how you perform on defense can affect your offense, definitely in the playoffs. So that's why a lot of guys, you know, you see them perform differently in the regular season. It's different in the regular season where, okay, you might play Boston one night, but then you're going to play Philadelphia and you're going to get New Jersey and you're going to, you know, get Charlotte. Then you might get Denver, and they ain't playing no D. You know, y'all just going anyway. And so then you go, you know, so I mean – You don't have to play great D every night.
Certain guys can't play, you know?
Exactly.
So, that is going to be a big factor. Hell, we see Zaza actually playing good again now.
Oh, man, Zaza been playing solid all year. To me, I can't ask for no more than he's giving me coming off the bench and doing what he's been doing. He's been doing it all year, being a tough, you know, really our enforcer off the bench. You know, Jamal Crawford is our spark plug, the guy who come in and score and give us a spark. But Zaza is our enforcer. And this is a guy who's been a starter in his league coming off the bench. So you got Jamal Crawford who's been a starter in his league coming off the bench. You got Joe Smith coming off the bench. Mo Evans coming off the bench. All these guys have been starters. This is different than our bench, in previous years.
And do you see Teague finally getting on the floor in the playoffs?
You know, he's been getting a lot of run lately, you know, more run than he was getting earlier. And he's been playing pretty well. But, you know, like I say, man, playoffs is a whole different animal. And Coach Wilson, you know, he on the lane duck contract too. You know, his contract up out of this season. So, I mean, it's about winning. And if I know anything about Coach Wilson, when this is about winning and things get tight, he tighten up the lineup. He tighten up the rotation. He don't mind going just playing 7 to 8 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then T don't get no run.
Yeah, he don't be regulated cheerleader status.
Exactly.
I got an NBA question for you, though, man. Straight up trade, man. Is there anybody besides Kobe or LeBron who you wouldn't trade for Kevin Durant? I'm talking Howard, Anthony, Wade, anybody.
I'm not sure if Kobe and LeBron can be excluded out that conversation.
Oh, you take it there, huh?
I take it there. I mean, this guy being 21, I mean, is one of the best players to ever do it at that age.
Yeah.
You know, and that's with Kobe. I mean, Kobe at 21 wasn't doing what this guy doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, LeBron at 21 wasn't doing what this guy doing. Now, LeBron first came in the league, he didn't even make the playoffs in the first 2 years.
Nah.
Yeah, you know, he was doing all the dunking, but he couldn't shoot nearly as good as Kevin Durant. He can't shoot nearly as good as Kevin Durant now.
Right now. Hell no.
So, I mean, you look at the fact that he's 6'11". You know, I call him the Black Dirk Nowitzki. You know, he's just a black, small forward, tall guy, but he's more athletic. He can do more. You know, he's like,
he's agile.
Almost a KG at the forward, KG who can play guard. I mean, he's real smooth with it like Kobe. I mean, his jump shot is immaculate. I mean, he can't be stopped. It's just going to come to when he starts playing defense and starts to lock his guy down, want to start getting blocked shots. Because, I mean, when you hit size, you really should average 10 rebounds and probably 2 blocks. Mm. And if he plays the game the right way, I mean, he really should be a guy who is capable of putting up a triple-double every night. He should be finding guys left and right all night, assists. They can't stop me. Okay, you ain't going to double me. I'm going to score. Like, he could be one of the best offensive players that we will see.
Yeah, but that's the crazy part.
Can you win the championship? So, I mean, when you're talking about him being traded for – He could probably be traded for anybody in the right package. He probably can be traded for anybody. Kobe,
Brian,
White.
But that's the crazy thing about it. Like you said, he's so young in his development. He's just now used to getting to all these different double teams, NBA teams are going to throw at him.
Yeah, he's still putting up 25.
Yeah, he's gonna be finding people, and he, that boy's gonna be unstoppable.
I mean, he done had over 30-25-point games this year. I mean, that's third in NBA history.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, yeah, this guy's the real deal on the offensive end. But, like I say, the game in the playoffs, that's a different animal. And that's going to be an interesting thing to see because, really, to me, they are a dark horse team in the West to upset somebody in the first round, at least. Because of the fact that KD is a true superstar.
And there's
but
no pressure.
We got to see. We got to see. What can he do when the game online lasts 4 minutes and you up against another great player? Because in the playoffs, you're going to have a great player on every team. Guys who are trying to get it done and prove that they can get it done too. So that's when we're going to really see, you know, sort of like Carmelo last year had his really coming out. You know, he'd been in the playoffs every year, but he kept getting bumped in the first round. Last year, he kind of took it upon himself to push his team through. You know, Chauncey was big in that, but Carmelo stepped it up. I mean, he was getting 25 every night, 30 every night. So they started putting back up there. You know, okay, is it him, LeBron, and Kobe, or no longer Kobe, LeBron, Carmelo up in there? So you know, it's all about the playoffs. That's where you make your name, man.
Yeah, I think he's gonna do that this year in that first round. While we're in the NBA, man, I wanted to throw out some of the early entrants to the draft. So far, we got Farouk from Wake Forest and Delaney from V-Tech and Big Aldridge from Kansas.
Yeah.
Feel like everybody made the right decision there.
You know, it's really hard to gauge, man. You know, the game has changed so much, and not only has the game changed, but life outside of the game has changed. You know, dealing with the recession, you know, new economic policies, you know, the media and the things they got going on. Like, guys feel like they got to go get their money, man, while they have an opportunity. They got to capitalize on it. You can't blame them, but at the same time, it used to be a time where you get drafted, definitely if you was a lottery pick, you were really expected to come in and help turn your franchise around instantly. You were going to produce instantly. Now, you got guys coming in who, you know, you're going to develop them for 2-3 years. You know, they might play small roles. They might be a bench player for 2 years. And then, you know, they might end up being a starter, whether it's with that team or another team. No, I mean, an example is a guy like DeJuan Blair. You know, San Antonio got him as a steal in the draft. He coming off the bench. He playing big minutes. He producing. He eventually one day he gonna be a starter.
Yeah.
For somebody, you know. So, you know, it was a time back in the day though where he would have came in and been a starter off the rip and still been doing what he doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just the game and change now. You know, so. I mean, if the league is going to give you an opportunity, and that's one thing about guaranteed contracts, where it's different from football, that your contract going to be guaranteed. So you're going to have an opportunity, definitely if you're a first-round draft pick. I mean, that's the only way you get the guarantee.
Right.
So if you're a first-round draft pick, and I'm assuming that somebody told you guys they're going to be first-round draft picks, because if you're not going to be a first-round draft pick, then you might as well stay. But if you're a first-round draft pick and you're going to have those guaranteed years, that means you're going to have time to develop. So you might as well go and start getting your bread now. That way, after them 3-4 years, if they pick up the option up, you can go get your real bread.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you might as well get on the clock as soon as you can. Because it's a business. You know, it ain't even about basketball no more. And it kind of hurt the game a little bit.
Yes, I think it hurt the game a lot. But, I mean, I'm still glad to see it. Because as bad as the one-year rule is, I'm just glad they haven't gone to 2 or 3 years. So,
well,
as far as I'm concerned,
I wouldn't mind if they went to two. You know,
well, see,
I think I would. I mean, I just think if you go to two, I mean, I think this is how it should go. I think if you can come out of high school and go to the league, you should be able to come out of high school and go to the
That's
league.
That's what I'm saying.
But if you go to college, then you have to stay for 2 years. That's how I think if you either go out at 18, out of high school, or you go to college for 2 years. And if you and, do and that, then
at that
cool.
point, I think guys should take the Brandon Jennings route. If,
or
if you're on the top 150,
if you don't
go ahead
college,
overseas and make your money while
yeah.
you can.
If you don't want to go to college 2 years, fine. Go overseas for a year and then go in the draft.
Because mm-hmm.
Brandon Jennings, pretty much to me, I mean, he's proved that that's the all right route. I mean, he made some bread.
He developed over there.
He traveled. He developed. He came in balling.
Yeah.
And he came in contributing right away. I mean, right now, I mean, you know, he's playing like a rookie, so Rittenhouse would get a lot of the minutes. You know,
yeah.
But, I mean, he really had a decent rookie season. You can only look forward to positive things from him in the future. He's going to be the starter for that team in the future and beyond. So, I mean, it's a good move. I think guys should do it. I mean, you don't want to go to college. Go ahead overseas.
Yeah.
You're a man, you know, because that's what you do when you get out of high school. You either go to school and continue to be a student or you get out in the world and you be a man. So,
right.
You know, you be a man and you go work and get you some bread doing what you want to do for the rest of your life.
I had no problem with that, man. I'm still 100 on wanting guys to go overseas instead of staying. If they have no real educational aspirations as far as these schools, go ahead and go over there and get paid, man. But while we're talking about this, let's get into this Final Four, man. We got Michigan State, Butler, Duke, West VA. How you leaning so far?
Man, I had picked West Virginia on my bracket, so I'm kind of sticking with them, but... Man, you know, it's really hard, man, because I feel like all the teams that are in it are capable of winning it.
Yeah.
You know, I picked Michigan State to be in my Final Four, too. The only two teams I didn't pick were Butler and Duke. I didn't pick them two to be in the Final Four, but, you know, they made it. And I sort of didn't pick Duke because, really, I'm just not a Duke fan. I really don't like Duke. But in all actuality, if Duke is going to win national championship, it's going to be this year because this is the best team they had in a minute, you know, and definitely with the seniors and juniors that they got, and the coaching is great, you know, the ability to space the floor the way they do, you know, they play defense, Shire and these guys are hitting shots, Nolan Smith is playing great. I mean, then you got Big Zobek down in the middle, which they had been lacking over the past few years, too. They haven't really had a big man who can play.
And
you got Zobek down there.
This is the most physical Duke team we've seen in a long time. I mean,
yeah,
they out-rebounded Purdue. So, I mean, yeah, you got to give it up to them on that.
I mean, still, I mean, a team that is more physical than them and can play basketball will beat them, you know. I think they can beat West Virginia. I mean, I believe West Virginia can beat them, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it'll be tougher for Duke to beat a team like Butler. Butler is a team that'll give Duke problems.
They do everything Duke does, but a little better. Because, I mean, you watch them boys on defense, man. They rotation.
Exactly.
Hey, man, they are on point.
Exactly. So, you know, really, that's why I said, you know, I picked West Virginia in my bracket. I kind of like Butler to win it all. You know, I don't think this is no Cinderella story. I just really think they're a good team.
Yeah.
And like you say, they do everything a little bit better. You know, they really be at it on defense. But at the same time, I look at Michigan State, and I know they lost Ken Lucas, and I think this might be the game against Butler that it might catch up to them. But even though they lost him, I just like their resiliency and their toughness. You know, I never count a Tom Izzo team out of it. Definitely with guys like Draymond Green and Raymond Morgan, you know, those guys really, and Summers, I can't say enough about him. I mean,
yeah.
This guy really playing his ass off right now. So, you know, every team in it can win it.
Yeah.
So I really like it. I really like the, you know, a lot of people don't like it because they, you know, it's not exciting. You don't have the big dogs, the big heavyweights, but, you know, really to me, those are people who don't really know basketball. You know, they watch SportsCenter, and they used to seeing certain names come up all the time.
Right.
You really watch basketball, and you really see what's going on out here. These probably are the best four teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kansas got upset. You know, yeah, if they played Northern Iowa 10 more times, they'll beat them probably all 10 of those times. You know, then they can be in this situation. But all these teams are deserving to be in where they're at.
Yeah, I like Michigan State, man, for the reasons you already stated, and just because the way Izzo teams play, they're going to play defense, they're going to rebound, so I think it's going to be a fight with Butler. And the main thing is if they hit shots. When Michigan State loses, I've seen them put up 38 points or you know what I mean? I've seen them struggle to get to 50. I mean, that's just the way it's always been.
That's the thing with Michigan State. If you're going to beat Michigan State, if Butler's going to beat Michigan State, they're going to have to beat them by at least 8 points, 6, 8 points, something like that. Because if it's a close game, Michigan State win those games.
Mm-hmm.
They always win out the great games that they have to scrap and grit and fight and claw and grab. They win all games all the time. So
yeah.
That's how I know if it's 2 minutes left in the game and Michigan State up one or they down one or something like that, I'm like, okay, they're going to pull us out because that's what they do.
Man, back home, we've been complaining about Michigan State ever since Izzo's been the coach. All other fans of other schools have been complaining about, you know, the grabbing, the pushing, the holding, the toughness or whatever. You like it when it's your team, but when it's the other team, you're mad about it. That's the way it is, though.
Man, if you're a real basketball fan and really, you know, me, I really started watching basketball in the 80s, man, when this what guys was doing. That was the game.
Checking.
No, the game got soft and entertained now.
Definitely.
You know? But the college game, I like the way they officiate. They let the old guys play a little bit more. And, you know, that's what the game is all about. You know, who tough? You know, when you got that on the playground, man, because that's what most fans are familiar with. Because most fans are not going to play in the NBA game. You know, they're not even going to be playing organized ball at any point in their life. They just like the game. Only kind of ball they going to play is when they go out to the park and they get their 3-on-3s and their 4-on-4s or whatever they run, and they play out there on the half court. And when you play out there, you know, all them little tic-tac fouls don't exist. They don't even call charging out there.
You ain't going to get no respect trying
exactly.
To
when you watch the game, you kind of want to watch something that you're familiar with. And people are more familiar with the playground game. That's why the N1 game had, you know, it caught on fire when it did. Because people just can respect and enjoy the playground game.
And when you talk about that playground game, the best indicator of toughness, you can always tell a certain guy makes a certain call. And, I mean, you know, certain people will hold up the game until they get their call. If you're a respected dude, you get your call, they run it back, you know, you play the game. But if you're a dude with no respect, man, people are ignoring whatever you're talking about, man. They're going to keep it moving.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to get your respect, man, before you can really be doing anything.
Yes, sir. That's what it is. Quick other story, man. Urban Meyer apologized to that reporter that he kind of snapped out on last week.
Mm-hmm.
Were you surprised by the way he acted or what he said? And you know, you're a member of the media, man. Man, what's your take on somebody acting like that, man?
Well, you know, I'm not surprised at anything, any of these coaches or players or anybody who's getting asked definitely a tough question, you know, a question they might feel uncomfortable with answering. You know, I think this is the same reporter had asked one of the players about a quarterback, and he reported that the quarterback, he was like, you know, Tebow, this guy's a real quarterback. Tebow wasn't a real quarterback, or blah, blah. You know, that's how he put it out there.
Right.
But, you know, and Meyer didn't like it because it kind of put one of his players in a bad light. So I can understand it. I'm not surprised by it. I mean, at the end of the day, he came out and apologized for it. So, you know, guys have done worse, man. We seen guys doing all kinds of stuff, man, from tone guns to touching on girls and
true.
You know, so I mean,
but I mean from a media perspective, because I'm talking about you Naughty, and one of these coaches is talking to you in the way that this man was talking to this dude, like he's one of his kids, man. It's, I mean, in the old days that stuff would ride, man. I don't know if you want to talk to some of these bloggers and whatever like that, man.
Well, I mean, he is who he is. I mean, a respectable member of the media will take it all in because it's a story. You see what I'm saying? Like when Urban Meyer snapped on him, a respectable member of the media, a lighter go off in their body like, oh, I got Urban Meyer to snap. You know what I'm saying? This is a story.
Right.
I'm finna make a name for myself. I'll have Urban Meyer snapped on me, and that's going to go out, and now people going to know me. They're going to log in and read my blogs. They're going to want to watch my interviews. Maybe I get more interviews because people think, you know, we seen Roy Firestone. He really got on like that. You see guy like Jim Rohn, who really got on because of the controversial interviews and the way they go at some other people.
Yeah, the Jim Everett situation.
So I mean that's the media right there, you know. That's a good thing when you can get somebody to go off or to do something controversial. You know, that's going, you know, it's 'cause like at the end of the day, it's about the bread. So
yeah.
I mean, yeah, if I'm a respect, I'm a media, a member of the media, you know, which I am, I don't mind that. You know,
so
I know at the same time,
at
the same time, you know, as a man, you don't really want a man to talk to you a certain way, you know. But at the same, but when I'm talking about playing this game, which is what it is, even the media, it's all a game. It's just a different game played on a different field.
Mm-hmm.
When you're playing that game, you got to take that personal stuff out of it. Because Urban Meyer don't know that man personally. He's coming at that man a reporter.
True.
You know, it's like these athletes. Like, when I say I don't like somebody who can't play good, that good, I don't know, Steve Blake. If I say I don't like Steve Blake, I'm not saying I don't like Steve Blake personally, because I don't know Steve Blake personally.
Right.
As far as his basketball game on the court, I don't like him. You know, so that's how it is in the media sense too. He don't know that man personally, so he should not dislike that man personally. But as far as the media go, yeah, I can understand that. And the media guy, he got to play the game too. You know, he got to do what he got to do.
Yeah, I think players have had a hard time adjusting to that over the years as far as separating those two. Because, I mean, that's a hard thing to, you know, really do, make a difference between. Because you got a guy talking about you and something that you love and you take pride in, you're going to take it personally. So, yeah, that's a hard thing to separate.
You know, guys got to wise up, man, because they're more than basketball players. You know, anytime you're in that commercial light, you know, you're a salesman. That's what you are. You out there selling something.
Right.
Anytime you go out there and hit a hook shot or hit a jump shot or anything like that, you out there selling something. So the other phase of the game is after the actual ball game is over, when you get in front of the media, you know, that's the other part of the game, how you reflect yourself then. Now, you got guys like T.O. who put up big numbers, you know, but he has some of the fewest endorsements ever for a guy of his caliber because he didn't necessarily play the game the right way off the field. You see, now he's trying to, you know, get on with Ocho Cinco. You know, him and Ocho Cinco been running tough, you know, because Ocho Cinco kind of already knew early in his career, you know what, I ain't going to play this game for long. I better be smart off the field, too. And, you know, he went in a different way than a lot of people do, but it worked.
Right. It has worked
came
for
out
him.
That.
Now, ain't no telling what he's going to turn it into after he's done.
Exactly. And that's the game. You know what I'm saying? Because, like I said, it's more than the game on the field. It's the game off the field, too. And you're selling something. And he got to be able to sell something. If you looked upon as an arrogant person or you a certain way, you dirty or you mean or something like that, you know, you can't, what you gonna sell? Gatorade don't want you to sell no Gatorade for them. Nike don't want you to sell no shoe. You know what I'm saying? They want guys who can sell. You gotta be able to sell on the field and off the field.
And relating to the media kind of leaks into this next little story, man. I don't know if you've seen it. Santonio Holmes arguing with fans on Twitter. Basically told some dude, man, why don't you go find something to drink to kill yourself or whatever. So now he's getting an ugly backlash, man.
Yeah, I follow him on Twitter. I've been seeing some stuff, but, you know, that Twitter can be a dangerous thing because it's another form of the media outlet, you know, for the players. It's direct.
Right.
And a lot of the owners, man, They really, you know, like I said, you're a salesman. You got a lot of people. It's a marketing ploy.
Right.
That's what it is. So you're portraying yourself in a certain light over Twitter. A lot of athletes feel, because I was I'm on Twitter, I follow Matt Barnes, and he was saying, I thought on Twitter I can be myself, and I didn't have to play the role. But his owners was looking at some of his tweets and said he cussed too much, and they want him to stop doing all that. So he was like, I got to mellow down. He was like, I might even just stop doing this altogether. You know, because
yeah, somebody's gonna Twitter themselves out of one of these leagues, and it's gonna be
a
messed up situation.
So they gotta be careful with it. But I mean, I really have no problem, man, with guys. You know, I'm even careful with Twitter. Like, I follow some people who I can't retweet, and then they say, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, I got some other people following me who don't need to be seeing this or think that I'm a certain way. You know, so you know, I gotta play the game. You know, I only can put certain stuff out. So, I mean, that's just where we at now.
Right.
Everything is everything.
It's like a regular job. It's like a regular job.
Yep.
So, we'll get out of here in a second, man. But, you know, before we go, man, I wanted to get your thoughts, because I know you're a big ATL dude. Your thoughts on this McNabb situation. Looks like he might be out of Philly. And Vic might be there with Kevin Cobb in Philly.
Well, Vic gonna be in Philly. We know that. You know, like I just saw the report yesterday that McNabb is on the block, Cobb is on the block. Mike Vick is the only one that's not on the block. He's no longer on the train block. The other two are. I mean, in my mind, man, I don't know what's really going on. I just think that they see what we saw and what we know. And I think Mike Vick about to be the guy. I think they just, you know, it's a business, you know, you want to show loyalty, you know, McNabb was there. So you got to kind of make it look like he only got 1 year on this deal.
Yeah.
His business, we don't know if we can resign him. He might want too much. You can say what you want to say. But at the end of the day, those coaches
would
pay to win games.
If you wanted him, you would cut the check.
Yeah. Those coaches get paid to win games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for the $5 million, they want to see if Mike Vick can win games. And I think they finna see.
Yeah.
I think he going to be the guy.
Man,
you know, really,
if it goes down like that, I can't wait, man.
I mean, it's a win-win situation regardless of what happened. I mean, if you trade me now, even if Cole starts, you in the win-win situation because you got Mike Vick as your backup. So what you got is, okay, if Cole wins, well, you can be like, well, we did right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If Cole loses, you can pull him early and put Vic in, and you still win. So, I mean, they in a win-win by training now. They don't lose now. I mean, it's really a smart decision because you can't have three quarterbacks on your team. I mean, you can, but that's on loan, man.
Not
in real
smart.
Life, you can't have three quarterbacks on your team.
That's too much money, man. It's too much.
Well, I mean, it ain't really the money because – like I said, all three of the quarterbacks are 1 year left on the deal. Cole ain't getting paid that much. Vic ain't getting paid that much. McNabb the only one making bread. So it really ain't the money. I mean, the money is going to be a problem in the future because, like I said, they all got 1 year deals. Next year, all of them going to
want
to get paid. He's
going to want that Eli Manning deal.
Well, I mean, McNabb can't get the Eli Manning deal. He ain't young enough to get that deal. But he going to get a nice deal.
Right.
He going to get a nice deal. Cobb. He going to want to at least get a deal similar to Aaron Rodgers or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at Mike Vick. Mike Vick, you know, he the one that really is in the
he's going to play below his value. Yeah, he's going to play below his value for a while.
Well, I mean, if he don't play or he don't have an outstanding year this year, then he don't get paid a big bread this year. He signs another fluky deal, 1 year, 2 year deal, and then that's the type of player he becomes the rest of his career.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can get on the field and perform and produce, man, he finna get his bread back.
Yeah.
And so he need to start.
Yeah, and from a financial standpoint, like you were saying, as far as with promotion and everything else, Donovan McNabb the star and Michael Vick the star are two totally different things. But one has the potential, as far as if he goes out there and performs, to make your franchise, you know, I mean, worth damn near the most in the league. I mean, that's we've seen the effect in Atlanta, the Vic effect in Atlanta when he was going good.
Well, I think Vic is just one of those players that in certain cities, I think Atlanta is one of those cities. I think Philadelphia is one of those cities. I think Baltimore is one of those cities where the people in the city can relate to Vic better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his character, like, I mean, now, really, he, like, he don't really relate to the people much. I mean,
he's a white-collar guy in a blue-collar town.
Exactly, exactly. And that ain't what those guys want, you know. Might
they
be a city like Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, a city like that where they blue collar and they, you know, they can relate to them. You know, definitely they urban community can really relate to them. I don't think Philadelphia urban community can relate to McNabb.
Nah.
You
know. I wish they love Iverson and Barkley, but McNabb, yeah. it just never happened.
I mean, they want to, but they just can't do it because he's just not that type of dude. So,
yeah.
You know, I just.
Remember, the locker room was split with T.O. when him and T.O. got into it.
Yeah, I mean.
T.O. wanted him to talk to the ownership about his money, and Donovan said, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I think that
exactly.
Rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
I mean, man, T.O. was right about McNabb, man. You know, McNabb, yeah, I just don't see him getting it done. You know,
I got to give it up. Tom Brady went to bat for damn Deion Branch, man. Trying to get that man his money.
Exactly.
And Donovan wouldn't say nothing for T.O.
You go to bat for your players, man. When you want to win, you think you can win with those guys.
Yeah.
And he just – I just don't think he really is a winner, like a total winner. I mean, he good. I think he got talent. I think he good at what he do. I think he one of the best in the league. But when it comes down to just winning and doing whatever it takes to win – I don't see that in Dummy now. He wants to do it his way, and if it don't get done his way, it just ain't going to get done.
Instead,
I'm just going to get it done however I need to get it done today.
Right. And that media-shaped personality that he has, you know what I mean? It's a good thing as far as messing with the media and knowing what to do, but it gets bad when you get to the point where it's like it's robotic. It doesn't seem official.
And well, I mean,
that's how he comes off to people.
I mean, yeah, that's why a lot of the fans, and when I say a lot of the fans, see, with him, he has problem with the black fans because they want him to do good, but they don't really believe in him because of some of the reasons we just said. Then you got the white fans who think he good, but they don't really want to like him because he black.
Yeah.
And he good. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he really in a screwed up situation. But as far as off the field, I think he's done good for himself in the media. I think he's shown that, you know, he can talk. You know, he can be funny. You know, he's good with that kind of humor. You know, the kind of humor they like. You know, the white collar humor. And I think either he starts playing, he'll do TV. Somewhere he'll do either ESPN or NFL Network or he'll Fox Sports somewhere. He'll do his thing. So I mean, I think he set himself up well. But you want to win, man. You want to win a chip. I think you cheat your fans when you don't win, man. Because people, all those people that come see you play and spend their money on you, whether it's a game, it's a jersey, or anything that's related to you or that organization. They put a lot into that week in and week out. I mean, you lose, like, people a whole week be down, you know, pissed off or sad, you know, and that affects their way of living. And when you win, they happy, they cheerful going to work and everything. And lunch on me this week, you know, everything good. So, I mean, people invest a lot, you know, financially and emotionally into these players and these teams. And you owe it to the fans to give 100% effort into winning every week.
I think Philly basically told him, put your money where your mouth is. The whole knock always was that, you know, he didn't have enough weapons. So they made an effort to get him weapons this year and wanted to see what would happen.
Well, I mean,
it didn't go the best way, and now they're looking at it like, hey, We can go with the young guy. We got the young guy.
He went 15-1 with T.O. Went to a Super Bowl and everything.
He wouldn't speak up for the man.
That was a weapon.
Yeah, but he wouldn't speak up for the man.
All right, so then, I mean, I can't – all that other – ain't no excuses. As you let T.O. get out of there the way that happened, that whole thing broke down. Ain't no excuses. You know what I'm saying? You play with whoever you got because you one of the few black quarterbacks that was allowed to have a good receiver.
Right.
Like, you for the cherish that.
Jason Campbell would kill for what that man.
Exactly. He would have went to bat for T.O.
Yeah.
Bring that guy back, man.
Uh-huh. Yeah, pay that man.
Yeah, pay that man. Yeah, we're trying to win, man. Take some of my contract.
And why is Brandon Marshall not signed yet, man? You think that's a draft day thing?
Who is that?
Brandon Marshall. Why is he not signed yet?
Well, you know, he got the tender is out, though. He ain't signed the tender. You know, if somebody, you know, signed, because, you know, he's a restricted free agent. So if somebody signed him, Denver has to, you know, they can try to match it. But if he signs with the other team, Denver will get that team's first and third round pick.
Oh.
That's the thing. That's why he ain't signed or what. That's why Seattle and all these teams looking at him. They trying to figure out, is he worth the picks?
Right.
If they sign him, Denver offer him a big enough contract. Well, if they sign him, they're going to lose them picks.
Mm-hmm.
So is it worth it? You know, is he better than any pick they're going to get in the first round?
That's more than what the offers are. Well, you know, the rumors are. The offers are for McNair, but first and the third, hell, that's a lot.
Well, yeah, that is a lot. I mean, anytime you can get in a top three pick, that's round draft pick, you get a lot. I mean, Randy Moss got traded for a fourth round pick.
Yeah. He's the one guy who figured out the NFL as far as how do I get the hell out of this contract and off this bad team I don't want to be on. Damn, he outright got his way. He got out of it.
I don't know if he figured it out. I mean, he went Minnesota. He went to Oakland.
But I mean, some you watch some of that footage of Oakland, man, of him supposedly blocking or running some routes, man.
He was ready
to get out of there.
Come on, Randy always played like that. He played like that in Minnesota. He played like. You know, he had a couple games last year in New England where he played like that. You know, they kind of called him on that, kind of got on him, you know. But,
true.
I mean,
if
Randy,
you're putting up numbers, it kind of get overlooked a little bit. But if you ain't doing nothing, that's
know,
all they seeing.
In Oakland, he had got hurt. You know, he had the hamstring problem. He was out a lot. You know, when he played, he always performed when he played, but he was out a lot. He was hampered by the hamstring. But, you know, Oakland, when guys get their last year, they deal, man, last couple of years, they ready to deal you. You know, they try to train the cornerback, Oshawa. Yeah, they try to train him for McNair straight up. You know, they do that. Oakland's one of the few teams that will trade. You know, football don't really have a lot of trades. You know, they traded for Richard Seymour. You know, it's more trades going down than usual. I mean, I would say that over these last couple of years. But
right.
Oakland has always been one of those teams that a trade, you know, definitely when they got a guy coming down to the end of his deal, you know, that's just something they do. And if you can get a fourth-round pick for a Randy Moss who really ain't gave you nothing, he's always hurt. You really don't know what he's going to get you going forth. He pissed off. He don't want to be here. That's another thing. Yeah, you're right. He didn't want to be there. I mean, it just make it easier for him to trade, but I don't know if he's worked it out, you know, well, he knows how to get out of contracts. I can't say that. It just, Oakland was a situation where they had no problem getting you out of the contract.
Yeah, like I said, anyway. This is just my guess, man. I'm just guessing on this. I'm just saying I think that's what Randy did. There's no real evidence for this. This is just me guessing. But, you know, either way, man. The boy got out of there. He's in New England now. We'll see how much he has left next year.
This is last year in New England.
Oh, is it?
I mean, probably so. I mean, this is last year on the contract. You know, he had made a statement earlier this year saying that he expect this to be his last year because New England don't like to sign their veterans. So, I mean, he said it is what it is. You know, it's a business, so he understand. Somebody going to pick him up
because
he's still 6'4", and if you get him in the red zone, he's the best option because he can catch real good.
Man, still running by people, man. And sorry for holding you so long, man. We're going to go ahead and get out of here, man. Appreciate you coming on, man. Speaking Like You Think of Radio, speaking with Naughty Dread. You've been doing a show weekly, video show. You want to tell them about that?
Yeah, btwice.net. That's btwice, btwice.net on, Atlanta's number one online TV station, man. Y'all check out the roundtable on that, you know, Twitter. I'm at Naughty Dread, NOTTYDRED. And, yeah, man, mess with me, man. Check out Two Live Stews, Ryan Show Stewart on Facebook. Check out them videos of the Entertainment Report. A lot of things in the works right now.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. That's what's up. But thanks for coming on, man.
All right, man. Thank you for having me, man.
All right. Be easy.
All right, for sure.